Amen. Please be seated. Join me in prayer, if you will. Well, Father, we want to thank you that you are a good Father. And Lord, just, it's absolutely true, and you know it. There's somebody in this room that needs to know that about you. They need to know you're a good Father because their life is falling apart. Their circumstances are horrible. They've gotten a bad report from the doctor. Their job's going south. The relationship's falling apart. Father, I don't know what it is, but you know, because you are a good Father. And you're perfect in all of your ways. So we're asking you now through the person and power of the Holy Spirit to come upon each person who has those kind of needs in their life that need to know you. They need to know you and your love in their life. Father, please extend the reality of your presence to them. Please. Lord, there are some folks here that are still searching far and wide for answers. They're still asking all the basic questions of life. Who am I? Where am I going? What's the meaning of life? Real questions, questions that matter. They just haven't found it yet. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak faith to them today. Help them awaken, Jesus, to the reality of you. The only reality that answers the basic longings of our soul. Father, we're going to talk through your word a little bit today. And if you don't show up, Holy Spirit, and power and persuasion, it's just going to be a talk. So we pray that you come and rest upon these, your people. Open our hearts and our minds to your truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, good morning. Good morning. Man, great to see you. Grace Kids, where are you? Let's tell them we love them. Who has them? Oh, the Vances have them today. They're in good hands. They're in great hands because Delaney is there. That's exactly right. Awesome. Everyone, see, okay, we have a lot of guests here today, so everyone who doesn't celebrate our kids get to help next week. Yeah, see, all right, see, that changes us. Woo-hoo, that's right. Because we believe God does great things for the kids. Well, last week we started a series on generosity. If you look, we've added a couple of banners. We did that a few weeks ago, and the reason why we have these banners on our windows, we talked about this when we had our 5-year anniversaries. These are values. These are realities we want to be true in our lives individually and that we want to be true in the life of our church. And so we try to add to that. The goal when we started 5 years ago was to eventually have banners on all of our windows that represented our values, what we aim at, what we shoot at, what we try to accomplish as individuals, and what we want to accomplish as a church. And so we have two fellowship we're going to be talking about later on, but we're talking about generosity, and we started that last week, and we realized that God is a giver. The most famous verse in all the New Testament is John 3:16, and what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave. God is a giver, and God is a giver at every turn in your life. He's a giver of peace. He's a giver of love. He's a giver of wisdom. He gives so many things. Now, a lot of us, not everyone, but a lot of us, when you hear the term generosity, you immediately think money, right? And you think, get your hands off my stack. I'm not going to sing the song. But anyway, so you immediately think about it, right? You think about, it's about money. Get your hands off my stack. Generosity goes far beyond money. Now, it includes money, to be sure, but it goes far beyond that. As a matter of fact, today, we're going to be talking about being generous, and we're talking about being generous with our words. Now, words are incredibly powerful. Matter of fact, this truth, words are powerful, is so profound, and it's so broadly known that you hear about it in every area of culture. Let me quote you some folks. These are not Christians, they're not believers, but listen to what they say about the power of words, how important words are. This person says, words can inspire, and words can destroy. Choose your words well. Pretty good. Another person says, don't mix your words with your mood. You can change your mood, but you can't take back your words. How many of you know that there are some days you ought to turn off your cell phone and stay home? Y'all know that? There are some days you shouldn't be calling people because your mood is just so bad. I had a little girlfriend back at college who had a statement, and it's true. She said, words are like toothpaste. Once you squirt them out, you can't put them back. Now, isn't that true? And so you go on and says, words are containers for power. You choose what kind of power they carry. Another person said this, you can choose or you can change the course of your life with your words. And there's no doubt about it. The words you use to talk to yourself will put you in a great mood, a bad mood, put you in a good frame of mind or a horrible frame of mind. What you say to yourself can determine how you live that day, that week, that month, really determine the course of your life. Truly can. Now, this person was a believer, but he was a believer about 400 years ago. His name was Blaise Pascal. Pascal was a French mathematician. Anybody got into computers back in the 80s, you would have taken a class called Pascal, computer language, named after this guy. And he said this, kind words do not cost much, yet they accomplish much. There's no doubt that words absolutely positively matter. And if we walk away today with one thing, I pray it's this, that everybody will walk out of here being generous with your words. Now, words matter, and the scriptures say they matter. So let me give you a few verses that emphasize that. Psalm 19:14 says this, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The psalmist David makes an unbelievable connection here. And it's true in every way. That one, your words matter. But two, your words are connected to your heart. So what's truly within your heart, what you value, what you purpose, what you desire, what you think about, eventually comes out of your mouth. A buddy of mine has a saying that goes like this. You talk about what you think about, and you think about what you love. So what's ultimately in your heart eventually comes out of your mouth. There's no way to avoid it. I mean, if you're angry and bitter, if you're here today and you've got unforgiveness in your heart against someone, let me just tell you, that unforgiveness is going to become bitterness. And when bitterness takes root in your life, it's going to poison every aspect of your life. It's going to poison what you say. It's going to poison what you do. It's going to poison how you view people. As a matter of fact, you're going to start spewing on people that have done nothing to you. I mean, have you ever done that? Have you ever walked up to somebody you know, and they just unload on you like, I didn't do anything. You know, in the Army, I was an artillery officer. We call that a target of opportunity, right? A target just sort of popped up and bam, you get blasted with it. You just get hit. Why? Because what's in your heart eventually comes out of your mouth. It just does. If you're angry, nasty, and bitter, that's going to come out of your mouth. If you're selfish, self-interested, self-driven, that's going to come out of your mouth. If you're someone who's racially defined, it's going to come out of your mouth. If you're someone who's arrogant and pompous and sort of believe you're the greatest thing to God's earth, and when you die, the Trinity's going to become a quartet, right? You know? So if you sort of think that's sort of who you are and what you're about, guess what? It's going to eventually come out of your mouth. It just is. And David, the psalmist, says this, Lord, protect me and protect my mouth. Matter of fact, later in Psalms, David would pray, Lord, set an angel over my lips. Anybody need to pray that? Lord, I mean, our mouth can get us into more trouble than our backside can get us out of. Amen? I mean, sometimes that's just true. So we want to be generous with our words, but we have to understand that generosity, the ability to be free and kind and gracious and empowering with our words, flows from our heart. It flows from the condition of our heart. Who do we love? What do we value? What speaks and defines who we are and what we're about? Do we let culture do it, or do we let Scripture do it? Do we let our buddies do it, or do we let the Word of God do it? What shapes and forms the attitudes of our heart and our mind? Another thing Scripture says is that your words really reveal who you are. In Proverbs 15:28, the Bible says, the heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 15, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but it's what comes out. Your words are the true advanced man of yourself. There was a business, and I've not heard their advertisement in a long time, but there was a business I used to hear advertised a lot, I bet you did too, called Verbal Advantage. You remember that? I remember that. Let me tell you what it was. Somebody was a genius on this. They sat down back during the days of cassette tapes. Okay, age check. Who remembers cassette tapes? All right, there we go. All right. Okay, so back during the age of cassette tapes, they sat down and they recorded some cassettes. You know what they did? They looked up like 500 power words. And a guy sat down, and this is the word. He would speak it. He would give the definition. They packaged it. They marketed it. They sold almost 1 million copies of somebody sitting down reading vocab words. I mean, that's really all it was. It's called Verbal Advantage. But I remember their tagline. I didn't buy the program, but I remember their tagline. Their tagline was this. People judge you by the words you use. And it's true. Without a doubt, you are going to be judged by the words you use. You will attract by your words or repel by your words. People judge you by the words you use. And Scripture says this. Scripture says that the heart of the godly is going to think very carefully before they speak. One of the ways you can tell a mature Christian is by how they control their tongue. See, if we're going to be generous with our words, if we're going to be gracious with our words, if generosity is going to flow from us in the area of our words, then our heart and our words have got to be in line. Our hearts have got to be dedicated to the right things, purposed on the right things, driven and defined by the right things, because that's what's going to drive our words, without a doubt. Words also will help you in tough situations. Just know the power of words. That's what we're trying to talk about right now. The power of words. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word can stir up anger. Now, here's confession time. All right? How many of you, with your significant other, spouse, friend, or whatever, know absolutely the verbal buttons to push to get them going? Everybody raise your hand. You're in church. Lord, don't lie in church. Now, how many of you push those buttons sometimes just because you can? Raise your hands. Of course we do. I mean, we can push those buttons. We know exactly. If I want Renee Stevens Wright to get mad, I know exactly what to say. I don't say it because I don't want to sleep with, you know, on the floor. But y'all know those words. You know exactly what to say. Kids learn it quick, don't they, parents? Yeah, how many of you wish you could sell them on eBay? Can I get an amen? We'd want them back in a day. But anyway, we'd want them back. But here's the thing. Scripture says, isn't this wonderful wisdom? You have somebody come at you, you're a target of opportunity. Their life has been horrible. They're spewing all this stuff at you. Man, they are just angry and bitter and nasty. And they are coming at you and coming at you and coming at you. God's truth, His wisdom, His word tells us how to disarm that. And we disarm it by being generous with kind words. The Scripture says that a gentle answer, kind words, will turn away wrath. You want to disarm a situation? Be nice. You want to disarm someone who's angry? Be kind. You want to really represent the Lord in a circumstance or a scenario that might be going south real fast? Use words that are defined by Scripture, that are kind and that are gracious and that are loving. You know, my dream is that we become a people who embody generosity of words. But in order to do that, we have to first understand that words really matter. And they really do. We have to understand that our words are connected to our heart. That you can't speak that which you do not know. You can't take someone somewhere you've never been. It comes from your heart. What's in your heart eventually is going to come out of your mouth. You talk about what you think about and you think about what you love. It's going to what you love eventually is going to flow out of your mouth. You don't have to talk to someone long. You know, if you're a fisherman and you love to fish, you don't have to talk to somebody long to hear about fishing, do you? They're going to bring it up. Somebody likes to ride a boat. I mean, that's going to come out. Somebody likes to play golf. That's going to come out. What you love eventually is going to come out of your mouth. Well, here's a crazy thought in church. But how about that primary love being the Lord? How about that primary passion being the person of Jesus Christ? How about that primary goal in your heart is to advance the gospel and the way God's put you together to do it in the lives of other people? Well, words matter. The last thing we're going to talk about very quickly is that words are designed to bless people. If you have your copy of God's Word or if you have a device, turn over, if you will, to Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, the Apostle Paul says this, so that your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Let your speech always be gracious and seasoned with salt. What does he mean by that? Gracious, this is grace, means unmerited favor. It means that when you're talking to somebody, they may not deserve kindness, but you give them kindness. Let your words always take the high road. Somebody has to be the adult in every conversation you have. Y'all know that, right? Someone's got to be the adult. Someone's got to be the grown-up in the room. So someone's got to elevate their words and their conversation and be generous with their words in the room. And so let it be you. And the Scripture says, this is how you do it. Be gracious. If someone's being angry, be kind. If someone's being frustrated, be gracious. Always be gracious. Seasons with salt. That idea is this, is that our words should help people preserve life, not destroy life. It should help them make it through another day. That's what salt does. Salt helps things last longer, is what it does. Our words should help people go a little further. Have you ever been at a dead end? Listen, have you ever been at a dead end? Not able to take another step? thinking that tomorrow is going to be worse than today, and today's pretty bad. Have you ever been there? And somebody calls you up on the phone and speaks those kind words to you, and you lay down at night, and you're like, thank you, Lord. I can get up in the morning. I can get up. During the darkest time of my life, about 9 years ago now, I got a handful of phone calls from people who didn't want anything from me. I didn't want anything from them. But they called. And you know what they said? Hey, Terry, I love you. I care about you. How you doing? How can I pray for you? They didn't swipe me a check. They didn't give me a job. They were generous with their words. And they were so generous with their words and so right with their words that it brought grace into my life. I want to tell you, you'll come into times in your life, you maybe haven't been there yet, maybe not, but you'll get there, where a check won't fix it. Going on a trip won't fix it. Buying something won't fix it. But somebody speaking words into your life, being generous with words, speaking words into your life, will change your mindset, the trajectory of your soul, and the decisions you make. You will be in a situation where you need those words. And I pray that we're the place that does that for you. I pray that we're the people, that we're known in the community. We're the people. You need generous words spoken into your life. Oh, those people out there are grace. They're sort of weird, but hey, you know what? You know what? They're going to speak gracious words into our life. I think if we can do that, I think if we can do that, you know, our first service is starting to fill up. This service is starting to refill up. I think we'll have to go to 3 and 4 services, because I think our community is hungry for a group of people to be generous with kind words, truthful words, but words that are kind and words that are generous, that are gracious, seasoned with salt. Paul went on in Ephesians, and he said basically the same thing, but he did it a little different. This is what he said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. He said, now let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for the building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give, listen, grace to those who hear. First of all, our words that are going to be generous are not going to be corrupting. In other words, they're not going to pollute someone's mind. You know, it's possible that you walk away from a conversation with someone worse than when you walked in. You ever been there? Or you see somebody come, you're sitting at a restaurant, and you're going, please don't see me, please don't see me, please don't see me. Please don't see me. I'm invisible. I am translating, right? You know, you ever done that? Yeah, you have. I mean, we all have. Because you don't want to get polluted that day. I mean, they're probably a pretty good person, but their words are corrupting. They're polluting. They don't leave you better. They leave you worse. I don't want that. You're saying, yeah, but Terry, I don't think I'm that person, but I just got to tell the truth when I know it. No, you don't. You don't. You don't have to say it. Well, yeah, you know, if I know something about somebody and their name comes up, I just feel like you have the right to know. I don't want to know. Don't tell me. You don't have to say it. Sometimes the greatest generosity we can have is by withholding some of the words we know. Paul said, when you speak words that are a benefit to others. If they overhear you is the idea. If they're listening in, that the words you're using will be a benefit to them. We're going to be generous with our words, because it matters in people's lives. Proverbs 15:4 says this, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. We have some educators in here today. And here's what you know if you're an educator. You've seen this, right? You've seen these students come in and out of your life for every year. Now, maybe there's not a bunch of them, but there's some of them. You've seen a kid come into your room, into your classroom, or if you're coaching on your ball field, and you've looked at them, and they have all this incredible potential. They have all this potential. They're smart. They're gifted. They're talented. They have all this potential. But there's something wrong. It's not an intellectual thing. It's not necessarily a skill set thing in accomplishing something. But then you recognize it. Their spirit has been crushed. And they have no confidence. And they have no self-assurance. Their spirit has been crushed and destroyed. How does that happen? It happens because more than likely they go home to a situation where a mom or a dad or a sibling berates them, destroys them, and beats them to death with negative, ugly words. Day after day after day after day after day. Get the idea? And their spirit is crushed. The scripture says that good words are a tree of life, but a bad words destroys someone's spirit. I've gotten to know a lot of people who come from abusive situations. Some of you know my family life was an abusive situation. My dad was a very violent man. And so I was raised in that. And I can remember my mom saying this to us. And I didn't understand it at the time. But she said, I'd rather him come in and knock me in the floor than berate me and belittle me and talk about me this way for hours on end. See, I didn't understand that until I got older and understood the power of words and understand that words matter. And I began to understand the scripture says we got to be generous with every area of our life and words are part of it. I didn't understand that statement, but now I do. I understand that words can absolutely destroy the spirit of someone and they can crush people. There was a book written some years ago. I think it's out of print now. I wish it wasn't. It was called Toxic Faith or Toxic Religion. And it talked about religious systems, churches, denominations, movements, that the words were so harsh and toxic. Not that they weren't truthful. We're not talking about abandoning the truth. We're not talking about speaking the truth. No, don't hear that. There's a difference. You can speak the truth in love and honor Scripture. That's what Scripture says. We're not talking about that. We're talking about belittling, berating, and dignity stripping and shaming and condemning words spoken over and over and over and over again that actually produces a psychological problem, religious problem in the minds of people. We're not going to be that place here. We're going to tell you the truth. Truth sometimes isn't comfortable. I didn't write it. I just preach it. Right? No apologies for that. But our words are going to be generous with grace and with kindness and with love. Those are the words we're going to use. Scripture says that it's those words that build a tree of life. Then finally, in Titus, the scripture says in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, now remind them, talking about the church, to be submissive to the rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. So there's three things that this scripture tells us about our words and about being generous. First of all, it says speak evil of no one. Just don't do it. If you know it, swallow it. If you know it, ask God to help you forget. You forget what you go to the store for. I mean, you shouldn't be able to forget that. I mean, right? I mean, so just ask the Lord to help you forget. Lord, I heard this about Joe over there. Help me forget. You know, you might even forget Joe's name. That'd be great, right? I mean, just keep it. Speak ill of no one. You don't have to do it. And don't write it on your prayer request card. It is not a prayer request to assassinate somebody's character. That's just not a prayer request. Just don't write it down there. You know, you might just put Bob. God knows Bob and knows all of Bob's problems. We'll pray for Bob. Right? We don't have to hammer him. Speak ill of no one. That's hard. That's hard. You know why? Because people hurt you. If people hurt you, you want to get back at them. It's hard. It's hard because people could be real mean. And when they're mean, you want to get mean back because you want to defend your ground. It's sort of human. It's what we do. Scripture says to speak ill of no one. It's not about perfection, folks. You're looking at me like, oh, I should have stayed home today. It's not about perfection, but it is about progress. We got to get better. So let's just not speak ill of people. Now, the next thing Scripture says is this. It gives us a little guideline. It says, speak evil of no one. Avoid quarreling. Just avoid quarreling. Again, you don't have to fight. Yes, I do. No, you don't. but I'm right and she's wrong. Well, yeah, don't tell her that because that's going to be a fight. You don't have to fight. You don't have to quarrel. Just don't quarrel. Hush. I got to go to the Masters one year, and they're very polite up there. They don't have signs that say shut up. They have signs that say hush. Very Southern, right? So it says hush, right? You don't have to quarrel. Hush. Do I need to make some of those signs and hand them out next week? I mean, we can make them, man. We can make them up and we can get all placards. Yeah, y'all do it in the middle of my preaching. I know. Hush. You know? I know that'll work. I can see that. I can see that coming a mile away. But you don't have to quarrel. You know, someone's got to be the adult in the room. Someone's got to be the spiritual adult in the room. Just be generous with kind words. Be generous with gracious words. Be a gentle answer turns away wrath. We have some police officers in here. Am I right? When you pull over somebody and they're mad, if you bow up, they're going to bow up. If you bow up, it's going to escalate. But if you show up and say, hey, sir, how's your day going? Are you what do you see? De-escalate. Everything. Well, that principle comes from the Bible. Everything starts to de-escalate. You don't have to quarrel. You just don't have to. Scripture says, don't you use your words for that. Your words are too powerful. They mean too much. They can impact life and death. They can build people's future or rip them apart. Your words are powerful when you speak them. Don't use your words to tear people up. Now, I want to say this too. You don't have to stay in situations where people are using their words to rip you up. You don't have to stay there. It'll rob you of your life. It'll rob you of your future. It'll put horrible thoughts in your mind. It'll strip you of everything you're going through. You don't have to do that. If those words are killing you, get out. Till things can get better. You don't have to do that. Then it says this. Finally. It says, be gentle and show perfect courtesy to all. Be gentle. When life is hard, when your back's against the wall, boy, I tell you, having somebody speaking gentle words into your life of truth and hope, being generous with their words, means a lot of things. Now, at the end of the day, why don't we do it? Why don't we become more generous with our words? There's a couple of reasons, okay? Here it is. We're landing the plane on this. Sometimes we're not generous with our words because rather than building other people up, we want to build ourselves up. Sometimes we just won't be generous with other people because we think, if I say great things about Dave Webb over here, then I'm not going to be great in my own mind. This is called an emotional quotient problem. You have a low EQ if you're worried about speaking words that are encouraging and that are kind and that are gracious and that are building to others. If you're worried about doing that because in some way it's going to make you worse, you have a low emotional quotient, and we need to talk about some different things. Today's not the day to do that. But sometimes we don't do it because we think by blessing them, we curse ourselves. Nothing could be further from the truth. When you become a person of encouragement and you bless others with your words and you're generous with your words because you got a good vocabulary, all of you do, you know all the nice words. Now, you might not have said them in a while, but you know them, right? And so you got all the nice words. You know all the nice words. And listen, when you're generous with those nice words, it doesn't make you less. Man, it actually builds you up. The Spirit of God will begin to cooperate with your action and your obedience. And man, there will encouragement come into your life. Encouragement will come into your soul. And you'll feel better than you've ever felt before when you walk away from blessing someone and using your words to encourage them rather than being concerned about you. See, the opposite of generosity is selfishness. And we become oftentimes very selfish with our words because in some twisted, weird way, we think it actually hurts us when we're generous. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Terry, they don't deserve it. If you knew what they did, they do not deserve nice words. I know some words. I've read them on walls before. That's the words they deserve. Scripture told us just a few scriptures ago to let your words be seasoned with grace, unmerited favor. They may not. They may not deserve it, but they may need it. Let God be the judge of who deserves. Let's just us be obedient to use words that are good and that are positive and that are generous. Now, another reason why we won't do it is because of time. We're going to get on time later. Actually, we're going to talk about time next week, being generous with our time. So next week, you know, commercial, we're going to be talking about being generous with our time. But sometimes we'll do it because I'm just too busy. Please don't be so busy that you miss an opportunity to be a blessing to someone else. just don't be that busy. So it could be time. And then the final way, and we talked about this at the very beginning of our talk, but I want to end with where we started. It's a heart issue. Sometimes we won't be generous and kind with our words to others. And I'm going to say this as kindly as I can, but we just don't care. Our lives are so busy. Our lives are so complicated. Our lives are so messed up at times that we can't care about anything else but that. And so we fail to be generous with our words and generous to other people. You're some of the greatest people I know, and I love you, each and every one of you. I love you so much. But I'm asking you to pray this week about being generous with your words and see what God does with it. Amen? Pray with me, if you will. Well, Father, I pray that this week we will be generous with our words, that we will take this next step in our growth process. Maybe we've done really well in other areas, but maybe this area we've sort of tripped up in. And so, Lord, I pray that we'll grow in this area, that our words will be words that are kind and gracious and building up, that they're not quarrelsome and negative and shaming. Lord, sometimes we have to use truthful words that sometimes are hurtful. I pray that when we do that, we do it with a loving spirit and a loving heart, with concern and with care. Lord, but it's possible that there's somebody here this morning and they have not really said the most important words in all of life. And those are the words that lead to their salvation. If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder if, just sitting right there where you are, I wonder if you would be led by the Spirit to pray these words, just silently in your heart and your mind. Just pray, Lord Jesus, it's me. Thank you for letting me pray this morning. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you resurrected from the grave on the third day. And I place my faith and trust in you alone right now for salvation. Please, Lord, forgive me of my sins and be my Lord and be my Savior. Jesus, I have questions, but I have no more questions now about you. My questions have been answered. I believe you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe you died for me, resurrected from the grave. I declare you Lord and surrender my life to you the best I know how. If you prayed that prayer or something like that for the first time this morning, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. One, two, three. Just slip up your hand, wherever it is. Slip it up so I can see it. Anybody? We had some folks at the first service pray to receive Christ. Second, as a believer, just assess where you are with your words. Are you generous with them? Do they reflect a good heart, moving in the right direction? Do they build people up, tear people down? Do they bless people, hurt people? Just assess your words for a minute, because the assessment of your words is a good insight into where your heart is. So just do a little check right now. Well, Father, these are your people, sheep of your fold. You love each and every one of them with an unbelievable love. And so, Father, I pray that you would awaken them to the truth of their situation when it comes to their words. And Lord, by your gracious, loving, powerful hand, move them closer to where they need to be. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen, amen, and amen. Ryan, where are you? Ryan. Here he is. Come on up. Oh, offering. Yeah. Ushers, come on up. Yeah, I forgot. Talking about generosity, I'm forgetting the offering, right? So this is normal. Okay, we give here at Grace for three reasons. We give, one, because Jesus is Lord. Amen? We give because the gospel is the most important message in the world. Amen? And the Bible says that where your treasure is, that's where your heart goes. So we give you an opportunity every single week to move your heart closer to the Lord. and it follows your treasure. That's what the scripture says. That's not what I say. That's what the Bible says. So we give you the opportunity to make that transition here this morning. So we pray that you do. If you have your prayer request, that little card, your prayer request, please put it in the offering plate. If you're not able to get your prayer request in the offering plate, we have boxes as you exit. Please put your prayer request in there because we absolutely want to pray for you this week, and we will. Let's pray. Lord, be with us as we give. Lord, I pray that the spirit of generosity will flow, that, Father, because you're a giver, we're going to be a giver. Lord, that is just how you are, and we want to be like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Just a couple of quick announcements. In your bulletin, you're going to see there's some stuff that's coming up, and I know you're like, wow, that's a long way off. But it's important sometimes that we get things on calendars early. November the 9th is going to be our next SHAPE training class. That's like the next step after partnership. And you're looking at, man, how do I get involved? What do I do? How has God gifted me and shaped me for ministry? This is a great opportunity to kind of discover that. It talks about your spiritual gifts. It talks about your heart, your abilities, your passions, your personality, your experiences, things like that. But it's an amazing class to come and kind of do some discovery. And then the best part is after that class, kind of getting plugged in and finding your niche, finding what the next thing is for you in your Christian walk. So if you're at that stage where you're just like, I'm kind of stagnant, I just want to go to the next level, I want to encourage you to sign up for our SHAPE class. That's November the 9th, and I know it's a whole month away, but go ahead and put it on the calendar now and then just block that day out. Don't let anything kind of crowd that day, but it's a great opportunity to come and be a part of that. If you're looking at you know, how to become a partner here at Grace. We don't do membership. We're all about partnership because we truly believe that we want to link arms with each other. We want to do life together, and you have something to offer, and we have something to offer, so we do partnership here. That class will be November the 2nd, and that's in your bulletin as well, but please go ahead and begin to put those dates on the calendar. That's all I got. And by the way, thanks for your message this morning and stepping on my toes.
Oh, there you go.
Because for me, my words are sarcasm.
Yeah.
That's my spiritual gift. And I've realized this week that as a middle school teacher, sarcasm doesn't work real well. It works real well sometimes, but it's not really building up.
No,
so
no.
Thank you, Pastor Terry, for stepping on my toes this morning. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Here's two words for you. You're fired. How's that?
Hey, that works.
Those are two good words. I just thought I'd throw them out there, see how they fly. Anyway, kidding. May we love y'all. Thank you so much for coming today. Thank you for being a part of Grace. If we can help you in any way this week, let us know. And let me make this offer to you, and I'm really serious on this. Mine and Ryan's, one of our spiritual gifts, we share a spiritual gift, which is encouragement. If you don't have somebody in your life that speaks generous, gracious words into your life, our phone numbers are on the program. You can see them. They're on the program. Call us. Now, we're serious about that. If you don't have anyone who will speak generous, gracious words into your life, let me be that person. I volunteer. I'll do it. If you don't have anybody else, call me. If you don't want to talk to me, you can talk to Ryan. We will be honored to speak those words into your life because everybody at some point needs those words. And we love you, and we'll be there if you'll let us know. Amen? Stand with me, if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Father, thank you for today and your goodness and for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, that you are a giving God. You're a giver, God. So because you're a giver, Lord, we want to be a giver. Because you're generous, we want to be generous. Lord, help us be generous with our words this week. Help us to push the pause button in our busy lives to touch those around us with words. Words matter so much. Help us use words this week, Lord, that will honor you, that advance the gospel, and that bring life and hope and grace into the people around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. See you next week. Talk about time. Time is on my side. I will be singing that, by the way. Time is on my side. I think Dave's going to be playing.
Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my turn till I made